when these relationships break up, it's always the children that suffer the most. And I think there still needs to be some kind of support, and certainly for whoever then ends up looking after the children, whether it's the mother or the father, or, you know, I think there needs that. I don't think that is structured very well. And on the other hand, I would just like to say, as far as Nigel Farage is concerned, it is something he likes to portray himself now on the side of the working class people. Well, that's interesting for somebody who worked against the, who voted against workers' rights.
This isn't just about working class people, is it? This is
This
question of marriage is about everybody, I suppose.
Well, yes, who knows? But he tends to do whatever he thinks is of most advantage to him at the moment.
Is that all you see from him, yeah?
Yes, that's all I see.
Absolutely. Okay, thank you very much, Annette. I have to leave it there. In a few moments, we'll go live to Liverpool again, where there is going to be a press conference, a police press conference, about yesterday evening's events. King Charles sent a message half an hour ago from Canada. He's about to give a speech in the Canadian Parliament. And his sister, the Princess Royal, Princess Anne, is currently in the Royal Liverpool Hospital, preparing to visit some of the victims of yesterday's incident. We'll bring that press conference to you live when it begins. It's 3 o'clock.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 3 o'clock, the King says his deepest sympathy is with all of those who were caught up in yesterday's events in Liverpool. Four children were among dozens of people injured when a car was driven into crowds at Liverpool's Premier League title parade. A 53-year-old man was arrested shortly after it happened. Mayor of the Liverpool City region, Steve Rotherham, has told LBC emergency services had a number of weeks to plan.
Every contingency is taken care of. So that kicked in straight away as soon as this event happened in Water Street. And it's why as well that there was a quick response from the police in regard to the narrative that was being set by some of these right-wing groups. Because obviously the last thing that anybody wanted was disorder.
We're waiting to hear from the police for an update shortly. A man has been jailed for 12 years after a three-year-old girl was killed in a crash in Manchester city centre. LBC's reporter Jess Reeves has the details.
The van had crashed into a tram, forcing it onto the pavement, veering into Lulu. She was taken to hospital with injuries but died a short time later. Rawal Rahman abandoned the van and fled the scene on Booth Street in a taxi, but he was arrested in a restaurant a few days later. The 36-year-old was sentenced to 12 years in prison for causing death by dangerous driving.
Four Just Stop Oil protesters have been jailed for planning to disrupt Manchester Airport. The group were arrested in August last year while equipped with heavy-duty bolt cutters, angle grinders, glue, sand and high-visibility vests. More than 7,000 jobs will be created at KFC in the UK and Ireland over the next 5 years. The company is investing £1.5 billion into opening 500 new outlets in the next decade. And Transport for London has revealed plans to increase the congestion charge from £15 to £18 a day. It also wants to scrap the residents' discount for both petrol and diesel vehicles from next January. In the city, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading up 66 points at 87.84. The pound buys $1.35 and €1.19. LBC weather, cloudy with outbreaks of heavy rain in England and Wales. Sunny spells and showers for northern Scotland. Cloudy with showers elsewhere. Windy, especially in the south. A high of 17 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Amelia Cox.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Sheila Fogarty.
Hello there, good afternoon to you. A bit of a busy afternoon. The King is about to speak in the Canadian Parliament. They're just waiting for him to arrive. Prime Minister Mark Carney there to greet him. So we'll keep one eye on that. We also know that the Princess Royal is visiting victims of the incident in Liverpool yesterday evening. She's gone into the Royal Liverpool Hospital, not far from where the incident happened. We'll keep a close eye on that. There is a police press conference due shortly as well, which we'll go to live when it begins. I'm slightly obsessed with the King's speech in Canada, I have to say. There's a whole troop of fantastic Canadian Mounties in their lovely red uniforms arriving at the Parliament in Ottawa as we speak. Maybe it's just me who's obsessed with this story. I don't know, but I love it. Anyway, we'll keep an eye on that. But before we go to that police press conference live, and apologies in advance, Alice Giddings joins me, Metro journalist, who's led a really striking and awful and worrying investigation about women who run out in the streets, in parks, in public. And Alice, apologies in advance if we have to pause our conversation and then come back to it. But you looked at the experiences of women when they're out running. You're a runner yourself. What did you find?
Well, I commissioned a study alongside Women's Running after having unfortunately been spat on while I was out for a run in the evening.
Just in passing us, as you went past somebody?
I was coming to the end of my run. I started to slow down and heard shouting, swearing, turned around, and a giant glob of spit landed on my leg. And it was very apparent that it was intentional. This man was sort of moving towards me, shouting. So obviously no one did anything, as people tend not to. You know, it's a bit scary confronting someone in public. Yeah. And I turned around, walked home, cried, got upset, and then unfortunately 2 weeks later on the same road the same thing happened again.
Different person.
Yeah, so I ended up putting out a post on a women's Facebook group asking if anyone else had experienced this, and I got 80 replies in 24 hours. So we then commissioned a study alongside Women's Running, which found that 10% of women runners have been spat at or spat on while running.
Just extraordinary. And in the two incidents that happened to you, did the person say anything to you?
Just swearing. Babbling and swearing, and it was very uncomfortable.
Did you think mental illness, or did you just think misogynistic?
I mean, it's hard
horror
to tell.
Yeah.
I mean, in my head, it's misogyny, but that's just how I felt. I know a lot of women that I've spoken to or who also experienced this felt there might have been a racial aspect to it as well. But a lot of women said, you know, we're not going to stop and ask or wonder why. We just want to get away.
Of course not. No, of course you're not. Particularly if it's a man, because it could be a woman doing it. But if it's a man, you really don't want to be challenging, do you, in a situation like that, if there aren't people around. What kind of places do you run in?
Busy streets. I don't run on that street anymore. I've also moved out of that area now.
Because of the incident?
Not because of, but it was a big relief. I feel a lot safer where I am now. But every single woman I've spoken to was spat on in busy built-up areas. So it's not like they're in a park alone at night. You know, they're taking every precaution they can, and it's still not working.
Yeah. I mean, when I first read the detail of your story, I thought of young Irish woman who was murdered out on a jog as well, down by a canal in Dublin, and that you know, it caused it a huge outpouring of anger and rage, and an insistence that women and girls should be able to go out to a park for a run on their own or together, and not the world shouldn't say, well, if you're on your own, what do you expect? But we still have that, don't we? We still have that, well, if you're going to go out running, there's going to be some bloke somewhere who's going to cause you hassle.
Yeah, absolutely.
We tolerate it, is what I'm saying.
Oh, massively. And you know what? It's so interesting because the women I spoke to all had, in the run-up to when this man was coming towards them, who eventually did spit on them, they all had that gut feeling, like, I need to cross the road. I'm getting bad
before
vibes.
Before it happened.
But they thought, no, it's not all men, as that catchphrase we hear time and time again. So they ignored their gut, and it went wrong. And I think that, you know, the onus should be on men. It shouldn't be on women to have to protect ourselves. We need to educate people, and we need to make it more of an issue about it.
The problem with consequences for example, the man that did it to you, or the men, was it men in both instances?
Yes.
Unless there is CCTV footage of this happening and an identifiable person, you understandably just scarpered and got the hell home. But there often aren't consequences for these very, you know, all kinds of misogynistic abuse that happens outside. whether it's spitting or other things, I've experienced it as well, is it's so often in passing. It's so often quick, gone, but you're left feeling terrible for the rest of the day, or you're left feeling you know, smarting, or whatever it is, you have your own reaction to it. And it is very difficult to police.
It is difficult. It is difficult. I mean, I think a lot of women are also just at the point where it's like, well, why would I report it? What's going to be done? You know, there was, I think, 68,000 rapes in 2023, and only 5% of those had charges brought after they were reported. Mm. So if you're a woman and you get spat on and you see stats like that, you think, well, if only 5% of those are being charged, no one's ever going to take me seriously for just having been spat on.
And, you know, the kind of things like hypersexual comments that men make if you walk past them, or denigrating your body, or they think praising your body is somehow a great thing to happen as you're walking down the street. Mm. That's one thing, and it's unpleasant. But spitting is a particularly denigrating thing to do, isn't it? And degrading thing to do to a person. It is. Yeah. It shows deep contempt if you spit on a person.
Absolutely. It's dehumanizing. Mm. It really makes you feel so much less than. And I think, you know, I was speaking to Fiona Vera Gray, who is a violence against women activist at the London Metropolitan University. And she said that's exactly why, you know, they do it in passing. They know that you're probably not going to do anything, and they do it simply to degrade you and make themselves feel more than. And it really is, it's hurtful and it's traumatizing, and it hurts even more that, you know, we are subjected to so many more acts of violence against women, and this is just unfortunately the cherry on top.
It's deranged behavior, without a doubt. You know, it's deeply disordered behavior and misogynistic just to think, well, there's a female runner, look at the state of her, or who does she think she is, or look at the way she's dressed, or whatever is going through their tiny minds. But then to spit on a person is, it is about a kind of loathing, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And it makes you wonder, you know, what they do to the women in their lives, you know, and it is possibly a gateway behavior, you know, something that leads to more violence. And it's scary because you don't know who you're dealing with, and you can't stick up for yourself, because God forbid you do stick up for yourself and it escalates, and it's just
a physical fight. Yeah,
it's terrifying.
Yeah. Were the people around you when it happened?
Oh yeah, everyone
saw it.
Yeah, there was a lot of people walking past, but I think it's just, again, that consensus that no one wants to get involved because no one wants to be the person getting attacked.
What's your best hope then from the report, the commissioning of the research and conversations like this one? Because as we've both said, it's hard to police, it's hard to get a result for consequences for them. Is the most you can hope for just getting the wider, nicer population that doesn't do this to step up when it happens?
Well, there's a few things. I mean, at Metro, we have a huge violence against women campaign, This Is Not Right, which we launched in November. And we're really pushing to see changes. And those changes, I think, in this instance, would be the police have what's called a jog on initiative. Currently, it's only in West Yorkshire Police. It needs to really be rolled out nationally. And that's where they train people, bystanders, runners, to know how to get safely involved and how to try and de-escalate this behaviour. We need better education in schools. We need to start, you know, having these conversations. And yes, it's not all men, but it's a lot of men.
Well, and we know that boys are being inculcated with all kinds of girl and women hating. So, you know, Laura Bates's latest book is entirely about that, about what is so readily available online for very young boys, and clearly men as well. I wonder if it's I think it's an unwinnable war. I really do. That's a depressing thing to think, but I do.
Yeah, it does. It feels like a bit of a losing battle.
It doesn't mean we
should
talk about it and try to battle it back, you know, push back against it. But it just seems so pervasive.
Yeah. And it's one thing after another as well. You know, I think every woman who you speak to will have had some experience of feeling unsafe around a man, whatever that may look like. And spitting, I think, has particularly upset a lot of people. I mean, the reaction to the piece today on Metro has been quite visceral. You know, people are really upset about it. But it, for a lot of women, it's just, it's every day.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I still think, I mean, I get it, but possibly because I'm a woman, but I still think so many men in particular, good men, you know, friends of mine, don't really get how misogynistic the world is out there. once you leave your house, let alone domestic abuse in your house. But once you get out there, the world we move in isn't the same as the world they move in.
No.
And understandably, they don't see all of the things we see because they're not happening to them in those little fleeting micro moments, you know, of spitting oral awful language or whatever. Mm. In the same way that I can't understand what a racist microaggression or out-and-out racism in the workplace, or whatever. I don't understand that in the way that a person who's been on the receiving end of it. So I do think, and I wonder whether you agree, that education is, well, you've talked about it already, education and just making people look at it is at least half the battle.
Yeah, and having and pressing to have those conversations with your male friends and family or colleagues, you know, because a lot of them will obviously not be able to see it because they aren't subjected to it every day. And having that conversation and just saying, actually, I know it's not you, I'm not targeting you, but it's a lot of people. Right. And if
all women have some uncomfortable experience with a man, it's an awful lot of men.
Yeah, and you can be that man that actually, you know, sticks out of the crowd and goes, actually, stop it. Like, that's not okay.
Do you believe that this is stopping women running?
Yes.
Or doing outside exercise? That kind of thing?
I think women are changing. I certainly changed my routine. You know, I stopped running down that road. I started only running with my boyfriend, my partner, and he said to me down that road, you know, he said, I don't know how you walked down this road by yourself because it is a scary place for a woman to be. And I know a lot of women who also have kind of refused to change their running route out of spite, but it means that they are, you know, they don't want to...
Each run is a war.
Yeah, they don't want to be dictated to by men they feel unsafe around where they can and can't run, but they have to. They have to be safe.
Well, Alice, thank you. I'm going to put the question out there to female runners and find out, as well as spitting, what they face when they go out running or doing other forms of exercise outdoors. Thanks very much, Alice, because it'd be awful if it stopped people from doing what they want.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Alice Giddings, Metro journalist who led that investigation and, as you heard from her, been spat at twice while out running on two separate occasions. Let's go to the break and we'll wait for that press conference in Liverpool to begin as well. But your calls when you ran outdoors, most people do their running outdoors, what did you experience? 0345 6060 973 316.
This is LBC. Hi, I'm Sava, founder of Cool You. And when it comes to getting aircon into London's hot and stuffy apartments and listed buildings, I'm the daddy. For years, Cool You have supplied and installed fully internal aircon systems with no mess, no fuss, and no external condensers. So head to coolyou.london today. Cool You, for a cool, comfortable home.
When you sail on a Saga cruise, you really can relax, because so much is included. A choice of specialty restaurants? Included. A balcony with every cabin? Included. Wonderfully attentive staff? Included. Spotting a whale out at sea? Included. Realising the whale is actually just a wave? Included. Search Saga Boutique Cruises 2026 season on sale now. Experience is everything. T's and C's apply, over 50s only.
It's your home, darling. Let's make it fabulous. High scoring isn't my forte, but there's no arguing with Trustpilot ratings. Shutterly Fabulous have an expert team of fitters who specialise in one thing, simply gorgeous window shutters. Made to measure, hand-finished, and expertly installed. Make your home Shutterly Fabulous. So, don't diver, darling. Book a free consultation with our expert shutter fitters today.
Sheila Fogarty on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Let me just describe the scene inside the Canadian Parliament in Ottawa. The King has arrived there. He's been introduced to some dignitaries on his way into the chamber. He's not in the chamber yet, but the representatives of the Parliament are waiting with expectation for him and the Queen as well. Queen Camilla is there too. We'll keep an eye on when that speech starts and maybe dip in and take a little of it. But certainly I'll be keen to know what he says about Canada's independence and its position in the world, because that is the bit that will essentially be, if not an open rebuke, well, it won't be an open rebuke, but because it's all about diplomacy, isn't it? But it will be an interesting moment in light of what Trump has been saying, President Trump has been saying recently about Canada's place in the world. Rather disrespectful statements from Donald Trump about Canada, to say the least. We're also waiting for that press conference to begin. I'm just looking at the scene in Liverpool, a police press conference due to begin shortly. The chairs and tables are set out and the microphones look to be ready. So we'll go to that any minute now when it starts. Worth just reflecting on many of the calls that you made in the first hour of the programme when we talked about that story, that dreadful incident yesterday in which upwards of 50 people were injured, some of them very badly, including a child who's in Alder Hey Hospital as a result of the injuries he or she sustained. The Princess Royal has visited today, is, I think, still visiting the Royal Liverpool Hospital, where she's meeting staff and first responders and, of course, those people who survived with injuries from that event yesterday, that incident yesterday. A lot of the calls coming through from you, you who were there, were full of praise for the police's handling of the incident itself. But big questions, not just you, Steve Rotherham, the mayor of the Liverpool City Region, the Metro Mayor of the Liverpool City Region, to get his title right, said there are clear questions about exactly what restrictions were placed on that road where the whole thing began, which is called Dale Street. Dale Street leads into Water Street. And perhaps in this press conference in a moment, we might get some clarification on that. We'll hear again from Assistant Chief Constable Jenny Sims, who spoke at last night's press conference as well. And Detective Chief Superintendent Karen Jaundrill will be speaking to the chairs and tables ready for them. Just keeping a close eye on that before it starts. In the meantime, let's start with your calls on women running and what they face when they're out there having a run. Andrew in West Kirby, hello.
Hi, Sheila. Nice to speak to you.
You too.
Can I firstly apologise for being a male voice on a discussion?
No, I'm for it. Let's hear from you. Yeah, it's fine.
So my perspective, I think I wanted to just raise two points. A lot of them, to be honest, it's sort of from the male perspective about this issue. First one being that I often run with a lot of male friends who, whenever I talk to them about how insecure and how threatened some of our female running colleagues feel, they just have no idea that this is even a thing. So I think, you know, it's very important.
Are you in a running club or just a...
Not a club. I'd call it a group as such.
Oh, Andrew, can I press pause on our call? But I promise I'll come back to it. That press conference is happening in Liverpool
now. I would like
now.
To
Let's
thank the many victims and witnesses who have come forward with information to assist our investigation following yesterday's devastating incident on Water Street in Liverpool city centre. Prior to the incident, hundreds of thousands of people lined the streets of Liverpool and the city centre to pay tribute to Liverpool Football Club as they paraded their Premier League trophy. The atmosphere was electric, but sadly, just after 6 p.m, the joy of the day dissipated quickly after more than 50 people were injured when a car collided with people gathered on Water Street. We had worked extensively with event organisers and key partner agencies in the months ahead of the potential parade, and a robust traffic management plan was in place, which included a number of local authority road closures throughout the route and the city centre. This included Water Street, which was closed to traffic. It is believed the driver of the Ford Galaxy car involved in this incident was able to follow an ambulance onto Water Street after the roadblock was temporarily lifted so that the ambulance crew could attend to a member of the public who was having a suspected heart attack. As with many large events, with event organisers, we plan for all contingencies, and this included the implementation of road closures to protect pedestrians, and an armed policing presence was also in place throughout the day. There was no intelligence to suggest an incident of this nature would take place, and as we've previously stated, the incident is not being treated as terrorism. An extensive investigation into the precise circumstances of the incident is ongoing, and we continue to ask people not to speculate on the circumstances surrounding the incident and refrain from sharing distressing content online. I have no doubt regarding the impact that this appalling incident has had on those who were injured, their family and friends, and for those who witnessed the incident unfolding in front of them. It is so heartening to hear that the public has also recognised the human impact on our attending officers, staff and other emergency service colleagues from North West Ambulance Service and Merseyside Fire and Rescue. And I want to personally thank the public for their support of first responders who were on scene in a matter of seconds. Following the incident yesterday, I can confirm on behalf of the National Health Service that we are aware of 50 people who were treated at hospital for ongoing treatment. Of those, 11 remain in hospital for ongoing treatment. They are all in a stable condition, and I am pleased to say that they appear to be recovering well. I want to take the opportunity to pay tribute to the brave members of the emergency services who were on the scene of yesterday's incident within a matter of seconds. Following such a shocking incident, they immediately ran towards an extremely uncertain and potentially dangerous situation in an effort to protect members of the public and fellow emergency responders from harm. Merseyside Police continues to work with other emergency services, Liverpool City Council, Liverpool City Combined Regional Authority, local hospitals and health providers, and Liverpool Football Club, collectively in response to this incident. An extensive investigation into the precise circumstances of the incident is ongoing, and we continue to ask people not to speculate on the circumstances surrounding the incident and refrain from sharing distressing content online. Information, including video footage, can be passed via the Merseyside Police Major Incident Police Portal, and all details are available on our website. Anyone with information or footage should contact Merseyside Police social media desk via X at MerpolCC or on Facebook, Merseyside Police Contact Centre, or call 101. Alternatively, contact the independent charity Crime Stoppers anonymously on 0800 555 111 or via their website. I'm now going to hand over to Detective Chief Superintendent Karen Jaundrell, who will update on the investigation.
Thank you. My thoughts are with all those injured in this awful incident, their families and friends, and everyone who has been affected. Like us, many of you will still be coming to terms with what was a harrowing end to a day of celebration. I want to reassure the public of Merseyside that detectives are making significant progress as we seek to establish the full circumstances that led to this awful incident and bring the person responsible to justice. We have arrested a 53-year-old man from West Derby on suspicion of attempted murder, dangerous driving offences, and driving whilst unfit through drugs. He remains in custody where he is being interviewed. We have a total of 65 confirmed casualties, many of whom required hospital treatment, and our officers and family liaison officers are providing specialist support to a large number of these victims. Further work is ongoing to identify other people affected, and we will continue to support these individuals in the days and weeks to come. Due to the number of victims in this case, we have received assistance from our neighbouring forces, for which we are extremely grateful. Our detectives are speaking to any witnesses, including those injured, witnesses at the scene, and emergency responders, as we seek to get a full picture of exactly what happened. In addition, extensive CCTV inquiries are being carried out across the city to establish the movements of the car, a Ford Galaxy, before the incident took place. We have already had an incredible response from many of those who were there last night. I thank them for their cooperation and support with our investigation. And I would encourage anyone who has not yet contacted the police who may have information on this incident to do so. Thank you.
Thank you.
Right, well, it doesn't look as though they're going to be taking any questions. No, they're not. They're both women standing now to leave that room at Merseyside Police Headquarters. You heard there, the last voice you heard there was Detective Chief Superintendent Karen Jaundrill. And before that, the Assistant Chief Constable Jenny Sims. In the moment before we go to the news headlines, which of course will feature this press conference, there was a lot of detail there, wasn't there? Not least man being arrested on three specific charges, arrested on suspicion of dangerous driving, attempted murder, and driving driving whilst unfit because of drug intake. She doesn't specify which drug. A clear appeal, multiple appeals there for people either with information or with footage. I mean, again, I was saying on LBC last night, Water Street is bang in the middle of the financial district, and some of those beautiful, elegant old buildings there, stunning buildings, have been turned into apartment blocks or partly apartment blocks. So a great deal of footage will be available from apartment blocks on either side of Water Street. People were clearly enjoying the festival itself from their own apartments and seeing the footage and hearing the excitement and everything before this event. So that there will be huge amounts of footage available to people, to the police, sorry, I would imagine. Just a reminder of that Crime Stoppers number, 0800 555 111. And again, some new information, recapping on the incident, of course, as they did at the beginning of the press conference, but some new information there about the car, a Ford Galaxy, believed to have, this is from the police, believed to have followed an ambulance, essentially tucked itself in behind an ambulance as a roadblock was temporarily lifted so that said ambulance could go and attend to an individual who had had a suspected heart attack. So that's the first indication we get of how the car was able to get into Water Street at all. The police theory at the moment is that it had tucked itself in behind that ambulance and got onto Water Street that way. Again, in answer to the question I posed and Steve Rotherham has posed and many of you have posed, what about Dale Street? What happened on Dale Street, which is the road that just becomes Water Street? How did he get there? Was there sufficient barrier in place on Dale Street? What was the nature of Dale Street at the time? Now, at the beginning of the programme, when I talked about this, we had a caller, Dave from Liverpool, who was down there at the time it happened, pointing out to me that Dale Street wasn't fully blocked off because it was the only access to lots of multi-storey car parks in the area, and that could be a reason why cars were on Dale Street. But again, the police are going to be, as they said, they're using CCTV to establish not just, they'll be able to tell us whether Dale Street was fully closed or not, but to establish what that particular car was doing both on Dale Street and beforehand as well, where it came from. They're investigating those precise circumstances still, and they've urged repeatedly in that press conference, two voices there in that press conference, for people not to speculate. 50 people were treated in hospital. 11, thankfully only 11, are still there. And by all accounts, they are stable and recovering well, which is good. She talked about the bravery of the emergency services and certainly the police who motored towards that car when people were in anger and shock and horror setting upon it. I just, you know, talk about running to the problem. It was just impressive to watch, I have to say. They've arrested this man, just to reiterate, 53-year-old white British man, they were at pains to describe yesterday very quickly for obvious reasons, on suspicion of dangerous driving, attempted murder and driving while unfit through drugs. It's 3:33. Let's get the headlines from Amelia Cox.
Merseyside police say they believe a car which was driven into crowds in Liverpool yesterday followed an ambulance through a roadblock. 11 people are stable in hospital after dozens of people were injured during Liverpool's Premier League title parade. A 53-year-old man is being questioned on suspicion of attempted murder, dangerous driving and driving while unfit through drugs. A 28-year-old man has been charged with attempted murder after a police officer murder of a police officer following a car crash in Buckinghamshire. Simranjit Kajla from Slough has appeared in court. And King Charles and Queen Camilla have arrived at the Canadian Parliament in Ottawa. His Majesty is only the second British monarch to attend the opening after the late Queen Elizabeth in 1957. LBC weather, cloudy with outbreaks of heavy rain in England and Wales, sunny spells and showers for northern Scotland, cloudy with showers elsewhere, windy especially in the south, a high of 17. degrees.
This is LBC.
The British Red Cross is here to welcome people fleeing the conflict in Ukraine.
We're here to help people to safety when storms hit.
We're here to show anyone struggling that someone cares.
Hiya, that's a huge help.
We're here for humanity. With your support, the Red Cross has helped millions of people in the UK and 190 other countries. Search British Red Cross to support us. Together, we are the world's emergency responders.
Search Kayak for great deals on Wait, that doesn't say flights. Search Kayak for great deals on car hire? With Kayak, you can compare hundreds of car rental sites to find great deals. Even better, you see costs up front. And if it's flexibility you're after, Kayak's got a handy free cancellation filter. Lovely stuff. So next time you're searching for car hire, at home or for your holes, search Kayak and go see for yourself.
How would you like to be a Win Plus winner? Enter now to win huge cash prizes and loads more at winplus.co.uk. 18 plus, GB only, T's and C's apply.
Find top-rated outdoor dining products on Amazon. Like this pizza oven with 5-star reviews, you'll get value and tasty pizza. Or these barbecue gloves. Remember to take off before eating.
Or this large windproof umbrella.
Because nobody wants a wet pizza. Amazon. Find highly rated products at prices you'll love.
Angela Rippon, what are you doing here?
I've come to tell you about using energy flexibly, Albert.
Flexibly?
Yes. Smart meter owners could get rewarded for moving their energy use, like doing the laundry at off-peak times.
So I don't need to do the splits?
No, Albert. Nobody wants to see that.
Get rewarded for using energy flexibly, only with a smart meter. Search Get a Smart Meter today.
Eligibility and availability vary. Consumer action required. Reward schemes and tariffs available to selected customers from selected suppliers.
This is LBC with Sheila Fogarty. Call 0345 6060 973. Alexa, send a comment to LBC. Text 84850.
The King is close to the throne in Canada now, in Canada's Parliament. He's just enjoying a trumpet voluntary as he arrives into the Canadian Parliament in Ottawa. Once that speech begins, we'll listen to a bit of it, I think, and hopefully land on the bit where he reinforces what Canada is, which is an independent country whose king is reminding the world that that's the case, not a state that's up for grabs for Donald Trump's ambitions. And I think it's quite telling and a stroke of genius, in my view, on the part of Mark Carney to invite King Charles to make this speech today. It hasn't been done since 1977. His mother, the Queen, Queen Elizabeth, was the last queen to do this, the last monarch to do this. He, the King, and Queen Camilla, dressed in navy blue, are about to take their seats, their thrones, take their seat on a throne. Is that how you say it? And then that speech will begin. We'll take some of it live here on LBC. Let's listen. We'll listen to that in just a moment. I just want to resume. Oh, did we lose the guy I was talking to a moment ago? Oh, that's a shame. I'm so sorry. My apologies to you if you're still listening. And we had to go to that police press conference in Liverpool, the detail of which I'll reiterate again before four. Danielle has called from Nottingham. We're talking about the safety of women when they run. It's not a great picture, is it, Danielle?
Not really, no. It's surprising how many women within those winter months, we all go out and we're fit and active with family and children in the summer. And it's just so shocking that as soon as we get to August, September, when the evenings start getting darker, that there's so many of us that just don't feel safe going out and about at night, on the streets, near where we live. And it's a real shame. It's one of those things that has always frustrated me. I feel like I'm quite strong and independent. I've had experiences. I've been out for an afternoon run and I've had four men run behind me.
Yeah, but the thing is, Danielle, you being strong and independent has no bearing on whether somebody decides to be aggressive to
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's a horrible experience. I mean, luckily I had, there were four guys. They all decided they were going to start running behind me. I stopped and I just turned around and I said, I'm sorry. I said, you're being really intimidating. I said, can you not do that? I appreciate you having a laugh, but it's horrible. And actually, luckily, they didn't sort of carry on. So I just carried on with my run. But that was the one thing that made me go, well, the next group might not be quite so nice.
What were they doing, these men?
There was the silly wolf whistles, trying to run up quite close behind me so you could hear them, you know, and you can just hear that doof, doof, doof as you run in. And it was one of those where I just thought, I can't be doing with this. It's just, I need to say
that
something.
That wasn't having a laugh. That was a deliberate attempt to frighten a woman.
Yes, yeah. But in their mind, and this is the thing, isn't it? In the guy's mind, it's funny. Let's see if we can get a reaction. And that's when, sort of just after that, I actually...
It's still predatory behaviour. This is the thing. This is the nub of it. We are describing it wrongly. Those guys will go home to their student digs or their mum's and dad's house or their home, and it'll all be normal, just having a laugh. Predators.
Yeah. And the thing is, and that's what puts so many women off going out in the winter, because we feel like the only time we can go out is if we're accompanied by our partners, our children or things like that. I actually set up a group for women runners in the winter, and I take groups of ladies out, sort of 7:30 to 8:30 at night, in the pitch black, and we go out running, and we go together as a group of ladies. And it's so empowering to just go out, because why shouldn't we?
Of course.
Why shouldn't we go out?
Of course. You know? It's not self-curfew, is it?
No, not at all. And I think that's one of the scary things, is that we've almost got to the point where, even though our partners are doing things to be sort of nice, my husband will still say, don't go down there, I worry about you. And it's things like, but you shouldn't have to worry about me. I shouldn't have to worry where I'm running or who I'm running with. I should be okay. So it's, I think women groups at the moment are the way forward, and empowering each other. It is like that movement that's been on Manchester and lots of the big cities, you know, take back the night. We are entitled to go and be fit and healthy. And, you know, I think sometimes these guys, it is like you say, it is predatory behaviour.
It really is. I mean, that was predatory behaviour wrapped up in a joke to soothe themselves, to make them think, we're just having a laugh.
Yeah.
You know, no.
But actually, if you turn that table and you say you're doing that to a 12-year-old girl, or you're changing that and you're doing that to a little boy, then they would see it as predatory. But because you're an adult female running down the street, it's just a bit of a giggle. And then when you throw into the summer and you're wearing your sports bra, which, let's be honest, ladies, takes 5 hours to get into and out of anyway. But when you're running down the street and you've got that gear on, that's a lot. That takes a lot of bottle to just feel comfortable enough to go out in your sports gear. And then to have somebody, you know, making silly sounds like, ooh, wobble, wobble, and things like that. It's
You're joking
it's awful.
Me.
Oh, it happens. It absolutely happens. And it's absolutely disgusting. Because
do you know, I'm afraid I would deck them if it was me. I wouldn't if I was on my own. But if I was in a run-on, I'd really rugby tackle them. That's what I'd do.
But it is. It's that silly thing, isn't it? But they think it's funny. And it's just not. And I think we need to kind of put that across to young boys as they're coming through. You know,
it's about denigrating your body.
Yeah.
Whether it's spitting on you or shouting wobble, wobble, it's about denigrating your body.
Absolutely disgusting.
It is.
It's awful. It's absolutely awful. But even on Facebook and social media, you look at these wonderful women that are out running. They've done their very first marathon. You know, we all look ugly when we run. It's fine. That's part and parcel of it. Embrace it. And the amount.
No, you don't. Don't say that. Don't say that. You look like people who are putting some effort in. Yeah, it's not ugly.
But it's the amount of men that will comment and go, oh, look at this, oh, look at that. And it's like, just embrace that. Embrace the fact that we've done it. And you've probably gone out and run far further than this guy's, you know, ever run in his entire life. But there's still men that feel it's okay to pass comment on
this
it.
This sounds really like it happens to you and the gang a lot.
We've had incidents. We've been out at night, and I run with ladies, so I'm in my mid-40s, and I've actually got some of my ladies that run now that are in their late 60s. They've never run before, but they come out in the group, and they're fit, and they're active, and they're being amazing.
And they want to stay that way, yeah. Yeah. Well, good for you. That sounds like a great idea. I'm sure there are similar clubs around, walking or running clubs for safety. Terrible, isn't it? Danielle, thank you. We've got Andrew back. We cut you short earlier, Andrew. You were saying that amongst your own male running friends, they just don't get what women face.
Yeah, I think a lot of my male running friends would have listened to your last caller and thought that she was something of an isolated example, that, you know, if you put out an appeal for experiences on the radio, somebody will ring in with something like that. But, you know, what they need to realise is, you know, they know half a dozen female runners at least one of them will have had an experience like that, possibly all of them. Mm. So, you know, so for me, there's two things as a man. Number one is to educate other men that it goes on. And then the other thing is to be an ally in some way, whether that is in knowing the kind of guys who would do this kind of thing and calling them out and, you know, telling them to give their heads a wobble and doing what we can to make it not happen. And then the thing that I've done is that I've started a couple of running groups where women can come along and feel safe. So I've started one about 6 months ago now that was targeting specifically slower runners, kind of people who can't find a place at a lot of other local clubs. And we were conscious that...
That'd be me, Andrew.
But we were conscious that many of those runners would be women. So, you know, literally, although I started this group at the behest of one of my female running friends, we've got a team of about six or seven of us, and all of the others are women. And we have policies that basically say that, you know, if we split into a few smaller groups, no women will be on their own in a group that's otherwise made up of men. You know, the women will always be in the majority.
What do you think?
Sort of my way of doing it is to create a safe space for them.
Good for you. You are being an ally. What do you think of the men who shout at women or spit at women? What's that about, Andrew?
I don't get it, Sheila. I don't know whether it's a power play, whether it's just basic misogyny. It just,
it's,
you know,
that,
it's something that wouldn't occur to me.
But how do we sufficiently shame them and stop them? How do we do it without just decking them?
Yeah.
Which we can't do because it's against the law.
We can't do it, but it would be nice. I could hold them for you and you could give them a slap. I think you've probably got better write-up than I have. I've often thought whether, you know, we should have the incidents of this, because we often have this, oh, it was a low-level crime, it was just a wolf whistle. And obviously the woman who's just been on has highlighted how intimidating that can be. I kind of wonder whether we need a legal system that's similar to driving, that, you know, you build up points for offences and then you get sort of serious punishments for persistent offenders. Because, look, you know, any bloke can do something stupid, but if there's a pattern of behaviour, then it needs to be punished.
Yeah. And we're not that good at looking at identifying patterns, are we? And even sometimes when we know them and see them, the justice system still doesn't do enough about them. Thank you, Andrew, for your call and for the work that you're doing to keep the women around you safer and more comfortable when they're out running. Just to describe a little of what's going on in the Canadian Parliament at the moment, it's rather nice, actually. It's when you think of our own state opening of Parliament, it is the very definition of flummery and tradition, isn't it? I mean, it's to the nth degree. And the king has the crown and the robes weigh them down and all the rest of it. Charles and Camilla have just left the throne before the speech has been given. They've just left the thrones in the Ottawan Parliament, the Canadian Parliament in Ottawa. And they're now doing a kind of meet and greet of all the members of that parliament before the actual speech. I don't know whether that was planned or whether that's just an informality that they prompted. I'm not sure, but they were treated to a violinist performance just before that. She may well still be playing. I can't hear the footage, but really nice scenes, actually, very informal. And they're dressed in just a suit in the king's case and a dress and hat in the queen's case. So formally, yes, but not quite the formality that we see in the state opening of parliament here in the UK. Make of that what you will. It's 3:47.
Coming up at 4 on LBC, Ben Kentish.
Nigel Farage insists Reform is the real party of the workers, and the poll suggests a lot of workers agree. Why is Farage particularly popular with working class people?
Ben Kentish on LBC.
At Halfords, we want you to say yes to packing more into summer days with a great value roof box or bike rack. Say yes to freewheeling fun with bikes and gear for all the family. Say yes to a perfectly polished car with our range of car cleaning products. And say yes to easy breezy trips with a free aircon check. Our experts are on hand with checks, advice and fitting. So pop into your local store or shop online and say yes to summer at Halfords. Subject to availability, see halfords.com for full T's and C's.
A Thameslink train is a place where you can just switch off. Where you have the chance to scroll your feeds as you roll past fields. Or simply relax with a podcast, playlist or power nap. Go with your flow and save with advanced tickets at thameslinkrailway.com.
Terms apply.
Find top-rated wellness products on Amazon, like these aromatherapy candles with 5-star reviews. I smell fantastic value. Or this essential oils massage set. Oh, that's better. Oops, drifted off. And this single-serve coffee machine, back in the room. Amazon, find highly rated products at prices you'll love.
When you're transported somewhere you've never been. When you discover hidden gems and amazing sights. When you just can't wait to pack your bags.
It's just stunning.
We should definitely go there.
I'm already looking at flights.
Nice.
Nothing brings us together like great TV. And a TV licence covers you to watch all TV channels so you can enjoy a world of travel from the comfort of your sofa. Search TV licence together.
It's your home, darling. Let's make it fabulous. High scoring isn't my forte, but there's no arguing with Trustpilot ratings. Shotterly Fabulous have an expert team of fitters who specialise in one thing, simply gorgeous window shutters. Made to measure, hand-finished and expertly installed. Make your home Shutterly Fabulous. So don't dither, darling. Book a free consultation with our expert shutter fitters today.
Tonight's Euro Millions jackpot will have you dancing like nobody's watching. Yeah, baby. Just make sure nobody is watching. Get in tonight's Euro Millions draw. Play on app or buy in your nearest store.
Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Sheila Fogarty on LBC. Text 84850.
Before I get back to your calls on how difficult it can be for women to run in public because of abuse that they get. 10% of women in a survey carried out by my guest earlier in the programme, Alice Giddings, and from the Metro newspaper, said 10% of the 1,000 women who were surveyed said that they had been spat at while running. Others facing different things, verbal attacks and other physical responses. But spitting, I mean, just beggars belief, really, doesn't it? I just want to recap on some of what we heard from the police in Liverpool in that press conference just 20 minutes ago or so. Two police officers, Detective Chief Superintendent Karen Jaundrill being one of them, were speaking about what happened yesterday and what they have learned. The new elements that came out were the police believe that the car in question, a Ford Galaxy, that ended up ramming people, had the reason it got into Water Street, which was blocked off, had a roadblock on it, is that that roadblock had been temporarily lifted for an ambulance to get through for a member of the public who'd had a suspected heart attack. Now, that would explain why that ambulance that we all saw in the imagery was there. But the car seems to have used the ambulance as a means to get through, or the fact that the road had been open for the ambulance as a means to get through onto Water Street. They reiterated that they're not treating it as a terror attack. They urge people to avoid speculation online or anywhere else. They talked about the heartening reaction towards their own first responders, urging people not to speculate. And of those injured, 11 are still in hospital. Excuse me, of the 50 who went to hospital, some were treated at the scene and didn't need to go to hospital. The 11 more seriously hurt were described as stable and recovering well. Let's take a listen to some more of what Karen Jaundrill had to say.
We have arrested a 53-year-old man from West Derby on suspicion of attempted murder, dangerous driving offences and driving whilst unfit through drugs. He remains in custody where he is being interviewed. We have a total of 65 confirmed casualties, many of whom required hospital treatment. And our officers and family liaison officers are providing specialist support to a large number of these victims. Further work is ongoing to identify other people affected. And we will continue to support these individuals in the days and weeks to come. Due to the number of victims in this case, we have received assistance from our neighbouring forces, for which we are extremely grateful. Our detectives are speaking to any witnesses, including those injured, witnesses at the scene and emergency responders, as we seek to get a full picture of exactly what happened.
So we know now, don't we, what the man in question is facing, if and when he's charged. He's been arrested on suspicion there, just to reiterate, of dangerous driving, attempted murder, and driving while unfit through drugs. And the police clearly still trying to build up a fuller picture using CCTV. And they've urged people who have any information, either through footage or things they saw, to contact them in various different ways. The Merseyside Police website has all the ways in which they can upload social media clips. And the Crime Stoppers number, as usual, is 0800 555 111. Let's get back to the calls, your calls, on the safety or lack of it of women when they run outdoors. Bruno, hello.
Hello there.
What did you want to say, Bruno?
Well, I'm a runner, or I should say at my age, I'm a jogger. And one of the things that I do is that, you know, when I'm conscious of when women are running, they potentially feel vulnerable. So for me, I try and give them lots of space and, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I think in the wider sense, I think making our streets safe is everybody's business. It's, you know, and women are more vulnerable than men in many situations. But I think about, you know, keeping our streets safe is a job for both women and men. And I think it's going to take men as well to make this situation correct.
Yeah.
And one of the things that occurred to me was, forgive my the acronym, if you like, but, you know, imagine if we collectively had a project called Taming Our Streets or something like that. Mm. And then these people who act inappropriately, making other people uncomfortable, for me, they're a person of threat. And if you forgive what the acronym sounds like, I'd like to see us challenge each other. So when someone is from a Taming Our Streets point of view, acting as a person of threat, they're a tosspot. And what I'd love to see is blokes challenging other blokes to say, don't be a tosspot.
Tame Our Streets, person of threat. Is that where you're getting that from?
Absolutely. And I think if we did that kind of thing, actually calling out other people who are behaving inappropriately,
yeah,
and then it's to showing people it's not a joke.
No, it's a good idea. You're talking about enculturating better behaviour.
Absolutely that. You know, I'm an oldie, but my dad used to tell me that a gentleman never makes someone else feel uncomfortable. And I think what we've got to do is to get back to that kind of way of thinking, but it's going to take all of us to do it. And so what I'd like to see is blokes calling out other blokes when they're behaving inappropriately.
Yeah.
And so at least then when women go out running where they're, you know, potentially more vulnerable because of the time of day they're going, the fact that they're on their own. You know, in fairness, you know, most of them can't run as fast as guys of the same age, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I can understand they're more vulnerable. And I think there's a lot of blokes runners out there. And I think what we've got to do is to challenge that behaviour and do it in a way that becomes customary, so that people expect people to challenge other people in that way.
Yeah.
You're not being a big man, you're being an idiot.
Yeah. And to be aware, as you've described, of women facing this. I certainly had no idea about the spitting. I mean, I expected the usual street misogyny that you see when you're just going about your business to be maybe a bit worse when you're running for stupid reasons, but because it's all stupid. But I did not, I wasn't expecting that level of, I wasn't expecting spitting at all. For it to be at that level was really shocking. Thank you, Bruno. Bruno's one of the good guys. Susie and Matlock. Hello, Susie.
Hi there. Yeah, I've got I don't know whether I'm going to help this debate or not, because I've just got a very different side of it. I do go out running, and I do go out running on my own, and I've never had any problems at all. So I just wanted to, like, offer any, you know, it feels like you've been smug about it, but I don't know whether it's a location thing. I'm pretty rural, and although, like, you know, I mean, I am married, but it's my dad that does worry about me going out running. But I suppose I go to quite rural places, so I do pass people, and it maybe is on my mind, but I've never had any issues whatsoever. And I do wonder whether it is a bit more of a city
thing,
maybe, where it's more of an issue. Yeah,
maybe. I mean, I think if you're in a rural place, there's less recourse if you sadly come across somebody dangerous, isn't there? Because you're more likely to be alone.
Possibly. And I think that, so the issue that I, or what I do is that when I go running, I do tend to go to different places. Like if I'm going in the car or somewhere else,
so that I'm not going to the same place over and over. So, like, it is on my mind. And I have had, we have a canal near us, and I would run along the canal, and you do pass dog walkers and things like that. But, like, you know, I've passed, you know, quite recently passed a guy on there. You know, he was wearing a backpack, he had really long dreadlocks, and he was holding a can of Foster's, I think, in his hand, and he was playing music really loud, and like instantly I'm like, oh, this doesn't look good.
That's lack of consideration, isn't it, rather than a full attack like we've heard of. Well, I'm long may it continue, Susie, running safely in Matlock. Thank you very much indeed for your call. That is it from me for today. If you missed any of the show, you can listen back on both Catch Up and Global Player. You can catch up on both Global Player and the new LBC app, where you can stay up to date with all the latest news and opinion. Coming up at 7 on LBC, it's Andrew Marr. But now it's time for Ben Kentish.
Sheena, thank you very much indeed. Yes, hello, afternoon at 4 o'clock.
The great divide that is opening up in British society is between those that get up and go to work and their next-door neighbours who choose to do nothing.
Nigel Farage makes a major play for Labour voters this afternoon, claiming it's now Reform UK that is the real party of the workers. And if the polls are right, at least, a lot of working-class people seem to agree.